Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a retro rave ride groove glue session for rewind-worthy drops in jungle and old-school DNB. Today we're not treating the ride cymbal like a shiny extra on top of the beat. We're using it as a rhythmic glue layer, something that helps the break, bass, and transition effects feel like they belong to the same machine. In this style of DNB, that's a huge deal. The best rides don't just keep time. They smooth out chopped breaks, push energy into the drop, and make even heavily edited drums feel continuous and alive. So the mindset for this lesson is simple. Think continuity, not decoration. First, get the foundation working before you write the ride. Load your chopped break, your sub, and your main bass line. That could be a Reese, a roller, or a darker neural-leaning mid-bass. Keep the drum bus dry at the start. You want the ride to respond to the break, not fight it. Now, before you place a single ride hit, feel out the pocket of the break. Is it straight? Is it swung? Is it sitting a touch late for that shuffly jungle feel? This matters because the ride needs to speak the same rhythmic language as the drums underneath it. If the break has a bit of swing and the ride is dead straight, it's going to feel pasted on instead of locked in. A great starting move is to extract groove from the break and apply it to the ride, or use a subtle swing from the groove pool. Something in the range of MPC-style swing around the mid-50s can work nicely, or a custom extracted groove with a little timing variation and very little randomness. You're not trying to make it sloppy. You're trying to make it breathe like it belongs there. Next, choose a ride sound with real old-school character. You want a clear bell, a controlled wash, and enough bite to cut through the break without sounding glossy or modern. A lot of contemporary cymbals are too polished for this vibe. They sound expensive, but not necessarily right. A darker sampled ride, something a bit rugged, usually gets you closer. If you're using Ableton stock tools, simpler is a great place to start. Trim the transient so it speaks cleanly. Keep the decay short to medium. High pass it if the sample has too much low junk. And if the ride feels too metallic or too dark, tweak the transpose until it sits in the pocket. Then process it lightly with stock devices. A bit of saturator for edge, a small EQ cut if it's harsh, and some drum bus for extra attack can go a long way. The key is to keep it bright enough to cut, but not so bright that it becomes the most annoying thing in the mix. You want shimmer with attitude, not cymbal pollution. Now write the ride as a groove glue layer, not a metronome. In old school jungle, the ride often lands on off beats and in the spaces between snare hits. That's where it creates motion without stealing focus. A good two bar ride pattern might lean on the end of two, then answer with a pickup into the next phrase. Leave room for ghost notes, leave room for the bass, and don't make every hit identical. Velocity is your friend here. Let the ride breathe. Give the main hit some authority, make the supportive hits lighter, and use a few ghosted taps at very low velocity to suggest movement rather than announce it. A loop with varied velocity feels like it's leaning forward, even when the BPM doesn't change. If the ride feels too rigid, use the groove pool to give it a little timing and velocity variation. Very small amounts are enough. You're after emotional acceleration, not sloppy programming. The ride should make the track feel like it's rushing toward the drop. Now let's talk timing. The most effective ride layers often sit just ahead of, or just behind, the grid in tiny ways. That slight pressure creates energy. Try nudging the first hit of a phrase a little early to create urgency, or place one supportive hit just late to create bounce. Keep your strongest accent anchored with the snare or clap so the groove still feels grounded. This is especially important when the break is chopped hard. The ride can hide the seams. If you're switching break edits or bass phrases, let the ride span across those changes so the ear follows the high-frequency motion instead of noticing the splice. That's one of the most useful advanced tricks in this style. Once the pattern works, shape the ride with movement. Put it through an auto filter, saturator, and utility, and maybe send some of it to a short reverb or echo return. Now you can automate the cutoff so the ride slowly opens from a filtered intro into a full bright drop. You can also push the saturator a little harder into the drop to add attitude, or pull the utility down during breakdown so the top layer recedes and makes room for tension. A subtle auto pan can also help, but keep it restrained. In drum and bass, the center needs to stay open for kick, snare, and sub. So think a little width, a little motion, not wide stereo drama. The ride should breathe around the middle, not occupy the middle. Now route the ride into the same drum bus as the break and hats so it can glue as part of a section. This is where the whole thing starts feeling like one record instead of separate loop pieces. A gentle glue compressor with just a bit of gain reduction can help the drums feel unified. Add a little drum bus if you want extra density, and maybe clean up the low mids with EQ if the ride starts clouding the groove. And remember this. The ride should enhance cohesion, not expose the mix. If it sticks out too much, pull its level down before you start carving with EQ. A lot of people try to fix balance problems with processing, when a simple level move would solve it faster and sound better. Now build the arrangement around the ride's energy curve. This is where the rewind-worthy part really comes alive. In the intro, keep the ride filtered and distant. In the pre-drop, let it open up and get a little more active. In the drop, let it lock tightly with the brake and bass. Then, 8 or 16 bars later, pull back one or two hits, or drop the ride for a bar, so the next entry hits with more force. That tiny absence can feel huge. Why? Because listeners track high-frequency movement as energy. When you take that away, even for a beat or a bar, the room feels like it's inhaled. Then when the ride comes back, the drop feels bigger. That's exactly the kind of rewind-style tension we want in jungle and old-school DNB. If you want to push the vibe even further, resample the ride with a bit of the break and some bus processing, then re-import it as audio. This can give you a more rugged, recorded feel, like it came from an old tape pack or a battered sampler. That slight roughness is often what makes the top end feel authentic. If the resampled layer gets smeared, high-pass it and keep it low in the mix. It should be felt more than noticed. A few common mistakes to watch out for here. Don't make the ride too loud. If you solo it, it may sound exciting, but in context it might be getting in the way. Don't use a super bright modern cymbal that sounds too glossy. Don't ignore the brakes pocket. Don't let the ride clutter the snare zone. And don't crush the drum bus so hard that the top end starts spitting and the groove loses shape. For darker or heavier DNB, you can go even further. Try pairing the ride with a low filtered noise layer for subterranean tension, or use parallel saturation on the ride to add grit while keeping the main layer clean. You can also let the ride answer the bass line rhythmically. If the bass phrase lands on beat 1, maybe the ride answers on the offbeat after it. That call and response relationship is classic DNB movement design. Also, don't forget stereo and mono checks. In club music, the drop still has to hit in mono. If the ride starts disappearing or sounding facey, when some down, simplify the stereo processing. A great ride in the wrong stereo space can hurt the whole section. Here's a really practical way to work. Build a 16-bar loop with your brake, sub, and bass. Add a darker ride sample and simpler. Program a 2-bar pattern with offbeat accents and a pickup hit. Apply groove from the brake or a subtle swing. Shape it with EQ, saturator, and drum bus. Then automate the filter so the ride opens over 8 bars. Mute it for 1 bar before the drop, then bring it back in full. Listen in context and ask yourself, does the ride glue the brake together? Does the drop feel bigger when it returns? Does it support the bass instead of fighting it? If you want a challenge, take that idea and build a full 32-bar drop where the ride evolves in 3 stages. Start sparse and filtered, then make it more syncopated and brighter. Then open it fully, but include 1 dropout bar and 1 variation bar. Keep the same kit, keep the same BPM, and let arrangement and automation do the heavy lifting. That's the core lesson here. In retro rave and old school jungle influenced DNB, the ride is not just a cymbal. It's motion design. It's glue. It's a way to make chop drums feel like one living system, and a way to make a drop feel so much bigger when it lands or returns. So when you're building your next rewind-worthy section, don't just ask, does the ride sound good? Ask, is it helping the whole record move? Because when the ride is doing its job right, you don't really notice it as a separate element. You just feel the groove lock in, the drop hit harder, and the whole track start talking back.